Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to True Crime Garage. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Nick, and with me, as always, is a man who is opposed to selling Montana to Canada. He is the Big Sky Captain.
Because I don't want to lose that John Meyer guy. It's good to be seen and good to see you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend.
Today we are drinking Paradise Lost by Southern Prohibition Brewing in Mississippi, garage grade 4 out of 5 bottle caps. This is a deep golden IPA with oats and a heavy-handed double dry hop, plus full of flavors of peach, mango, and pineapple. ABV 8.1%, and like all IPAs, it is meant to be drank fresh. And this week's beer is brought to us by all of you good people out there. First up, we have Avery from Parts Unknown, who says he is donating to help me pay off those hefty computer school loans. Also in Parts Unknown, we have Aaron, and we are lumping Bonnie into Parts Unknown just because I don't know where she's from. But she has recommended a Texas beer and a California case, and what's located between Texas and California, and also north and east of Texas and California? Well, that, my friends, is Parts Unknown.
And a big cheers, mates, to Larissa and Ashley in Clearfield, Utah.
And a big cheers to our friend Joni in Jacksonville, Florida.
Joni Mitchell. And a big nice jib to Nicholas in Wallingford, Vermont.
And a big thank you to Mary in Birmingham, Alabama. And last but certainly not least, on both Team Nick and Team Captain, we have Amber.
Pick a side.
Unite. Form Voltron. We have Amber in Morrow, Oregon. So thanks everybody for helping us out with this week's beer run. If you want to help us out with next week's, get in the back of the pickup truck, go to truecrimegarage.com and click on the donate button.
Get in the back of the dump truck and get... All right, and that's enough of the business.
That's right, everybody, gather around, grab a chair, grab a beer. Let's talk some true crime. Year-old Jessica Johnson was found dead in June of 2017. As we said yesterday, Captain, basically tied to a mailbox post in a rural area. This is in Mississippi. Now, we started to talk about the photograph. There is what you could call a famous online photograph regarding this case. Law enforcement has called this a suicide. Her friends and family say, no way, this has to be a murder. Mm-hmm. You and I agree it's at least a mysterious death.
Well, look, your job is to serve and protect, and when people of the community that are law-abiding taxpayers, they say, hey, look, we know the person, we think this is suspicious, at least investigate it.
Yeah, and yesterday we talked about what the photograph depicts and what can be seen in that photograph. We also told you where you can find it to view it for yourself. Now, looking at this photograph, because this is essentially possibly the biggest piece of information we have left in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Without, you know, we do have some eyewitness statements and things like that, but this is a big piece of this case that has remained. So your initial reaction when you see this photograph, what jumps off the page to you? Is there anything in particular that jumps off the page to you?
Well, I think the first thing that we talked about on the phone last week is that around her neck, the shoelace that's around her neck also has hair caught in it.
Yeah, and her hair is in the shoelace.
Yeah, and to me, if somebody was going to, it would be like a subconscious thing where maybe if you're going to put something around your neck, especially a female that has to deal with a lot of hair, that she's going to pull that hair through the shoelace.
Hmm.
And so to me, that is kind of points me, I lean towards the idea that that makes it seem like somebody put that around her neck and that she didn't put it around her neck herself.
The first thing that I think jumps off the page to me immediately is the positioning of her body.
Mm-hmm.
And as we stated, this mailbox is about 38 inches high. So with the positioning of her body, she's almost squatting, sitting down.
She's sitting on her feet.
Right. And one thing we talked about was that if this was an attempted suicide or if this was a suicide, one thing you have to keep in mind with the position of her body, she could have just, if she would have panicked at the last second, she could have just stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have stopped the shoestrings from constricting around her neck.
Now, we did talk about our clothes yesterday and mm-hmm. saying that these are clothes that the family are like, we don't think she'd wear these. Now, she did pick up her friend, so I would like to know from her friend, was she wearing these clothes when she saw her? Or was there a change afterwards?
Oh, yeah, 5:15?
Mm-hmm. And I'll get to that later on. I'll bring up that point again later on. But again, then you see this purse, and you see that this charger is kind of out of the purse.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend, my friend Morgan, was looking at this picture, and he was saying, well, maybe, you know, if it was a suicide, and she's going, well, maybe these shoestrings, or maybe this charger cord.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it's out of the purse.
That's the other thing. I don't know the length of that charger cord, but if you were looking to pick an item to hang yourself with, if that cord is long enough, that's what you're going to pick over the shoestrings, in my opinion. And keep in mind, I find it strange that the shoes are found very far away from her. You know, the police report is weird. It reads weird about where the shoes were found. It seems to indicate that they were either found up near the home or inside the house itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, at least 100 yards away. And she's got the shoestrings there with her. The other thing that jumps off the page to me is...
Well, okay, not to cut you off and be rude, but I'm going to pull a Captain. I would like to know what the condition of her socks are or her feet, because that would show us something.
Which we can't see in the photograph.
If she took off the shoes, you know, if it went down like the friend Jesse said, where she was making threats that she's going to kill herself, and then she threw her shoes somewhere and decided, well, I'm going to start walking with the shoelace, we would have some evidence of that on the bottom of her feet.
The other thing to keep in mind regarding Jesse's statements and others, you know, other people's statements, it's believed she was last seen, if we're to believe them, she was last seen around 6 p.m. the night before. She's found around 11 a.m. the next day.
Right.
The death report states that they believe she died sometime in the early morning hours. So if that report is correct, and we've talked about in the past of questioning the time of death, and it's not such an exact science all the time.
Right, it's not black and white.
Where would she have been for, we're talking about hours. So even if you go to the earliest point, right, early in the that morning, the earliest point would be 12:01 a.m. That's still a 6 hour difference,
right,
at the very earliest point.
Yeah, I think that to me is another red flag. We know that the time of death would have, like you said, there was a smaller window. So, oh, we haven't seen her since 6 o'clock. Well, so she was missing for how many hours before she decided to take her own life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just seems fishy to me. That's a red flag. We need to investigate the details of that night a little bit more and see if these guys are telling the truth. Because I just don't believe so. I don't think the last time she was saw by these guys was 6 o'clock.
And I'm with the general public who have viewed this photograph seem to believe that her purse looks more like it was placed there after she, you know, was killed.
I would agree.
That it looks that way to me as well. But then I have to keep in mind what we know regarding eyewitness statements. We do know that the second mail carrier that showed up when the first mail carrier saw this, mm-hmm, panicked, called a colleague, the second mail carrier shows up and did go through the purse, because we know that he gave the driver's license to the responding police officers.
Right, and which is might be the reason why the cord is sticking out.
Right.
Because those cords aren't super, that there's some stiffness to those cords. So if you just kind of pull some stuff out and you bump it, it could kind of be hanging up outside the purse by itself. So that could be a reasoning for that.
Well, and it also could very likely be the reason why the purse appears to have been placed there after she was killed. Because if this person picked up, if the mailman picked up the purse to retrieve the driver's license, judging by this picture, he would have placed it back down at some point.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that could explain the cord being out. That could also explain the positioning of the purse itself.
Well, I'm going to say something that I know that there is a picture. The picture that you're going to commonly find is Jessica's face is blurred out. Mm-hmm. And that becomes an issue, and I'll explain why. Because if you look at this post, the main post that's going vertical, so there's three posts, one that goes vertical, and then that one goes horizontal that holds the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And so those come to a 90-degree angle. You can see the shoelace has slipped down in between them.
Right.
And it's probably stopped on a nail. So what's interesting is if you look at the way, because I always thought shoelace being tied one time, it's not like they doubled it up for strength or anything. They're too connected to make a big circle.
To make a long length of rope.
Right. But so what we do know is when I first looked at it, it looked like, well, is there just a single strand that, you know, did she tie the shoelace into some kind of a noose, or is it just a big circle that she took and twisted around her neck and then put the other end, you know, up over this post?
Well, it's been described as basically a figure eight.
Okay.
With one loop going around the neck, one loop going, the bigger loop going around the mailbox post.
Right. And you can't see the back side of where the shoelace would be coming out of the back side. Does that make sense? So I think there is some things that are kind of missing here. But at first, it does look like somebody put her there, or it's staged for some manner.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I thought about it, the more I think about just the mechanics of all of it, it's very possible that she could have took her own life by this, and maybe not even meaning to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the argument becomes with that theory is, well, if you weren't meaning to take your own life, she's in a position, like you said, if she started to struggle, boom, all she has to do is stand up.
Yeah.
But the argument I have here is, what if, this is speculation, but what if it was one of those things kind of like the pass out game?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not cutting off, when you do the pass out game, you're not cutting off your airway. You're basically cutting off the blood circulation to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that she put herself in this position and then she passed out? And then because of passing out and because of the weight, that would cause the strangulation?
It's possible, but so here's the big question that I have when I see this. And I've blown this picture up as much as I can. I've even got out the magnifying glass and tried to really see as close, up close and personal as possible. But from what I can see here is, okay, so if you look closely at the picture of Jessica tied to the mailbox, her head is actually tilted up, and the lace around her neck is clearly visible. It doesn't seem, it seems weird to me that you could possibly hang yourself at this angle. And furthermore, it does not appear to be cutting, the lace does not appear to be cutting into her throat or causing much constriction at all.
Yeah, but it's, okay.
And what I mean here is there doesn't appear to be any kind of ligature marks or indentations from the laces, which...
No, if you blow that up...
Which surely would have dug into her throat if she'd been there for hours.
Right, but if she was there from like 6 till whenever they found her, but I don't think she was there that long, but it's definitely causing a dent into her neck, right? Do you see that? Or?
Well, okay, in the very front there, it does appear to be constricting.
Right, but for strangulation, like the pounds of pressure that you need to strangle yourself is, like, I think, under 20 pounds. You can strangle yourself. That's why I'm saying is it possible that she passed out, whether it's from cutting off circulation to her brain, or was it a pass out due to the drugs, and then that caused an accidental strangulation?
Right, but I want to back you up to something you said just a second ago. You said you don't believe she was there for hours. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, if that is the case, if she wasn't there for hours, then this is not what it seems. This is not a suicide.
Why? Why is that?
Because if the cause of death is correct and she died in the early hours of that day and was not found until 11 a.m., that could be as long as 11 hours.
Right.
So what I mean by that is if you don't believe that this body was there in this manner for hours, then it has to be something other than a suicide. It means that she died at some point and somebody put her here.
No, what I was trying to say is that we have people at this party or people that were hanging out saying we haven't seen her since 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is, I think that's probably bogus, but let's say that's true. Then she's wandering around for however long, but whenever, if it is a suicide, then she didn't decide to do this till closer to daylight, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
And so I don't see why that would determine whether or not it was a suicide or not.
No, I'm just going off of the statement that you said you don't believe she was there for hours. That was just unclear to me.
Well, maybe I should have said that I didn't think she was there for since 6 p.m. is what I'm saying.
Well, and I don't think anybody thinks she was there since 6 p.m.
I think whatever happened to her and however she was placed there, that was closer to the break of day.
Right. And again, though, if...
But to me, that doesn't determine whether it's a suicide or a murder. Or even an accidental death that somebody tried to cover up and make it look like a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's very possible. You know, it's very possible that she OD'd on something. You know, I understand that they took a toxicology report But they didn't investigate this as anything other than she took her own life.
But if she OD'd, then again, it's not what it seems.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we're working with here is a few troublesome ideas. One, that she was potentially last seen by these people at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
If the death ruling was correct, not so much in the suicide, but the time of death was the early morning hours, then we have at minimum a missing block of 6 hours.
Yeah, if not more.
A missing block of 6 hours. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, for those of you out there listening, look at this photograph if you choose to. And the thing that I would question is, do you believe she was there and in this position for hours? And the reason why I keep going back to that is because that is the only way that that law enforcement's findings are correct, is that she would have had to have been here in this position for hours.
Right. Again, which, like you said, it creates at least a minimum of a 6 hour gap.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a 6 hour gap and she's found on the property, it calls for an investigation.
Yeah. And that's not to say that she couldn't have been wandering around or doing who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a possibility, but it seems odd that we have a 6 hour window. And you touched on something that's very interesting, too, because you have law enforcement with the finding of suicide. The family and friends say, no, it was a murder. And you bring up something that we talked about when we first looked into this case last week, the potential of, did she OD? We know that the toxicology did show high levels of drugs in her system.
Right.
Could something else have happened to her? And then she is later placed here in this manner.
To cover it up.
Well, yeah, I guess to cover it up. But that also seems weird to me, too, because...
Well, you do some weird shit when you're on drugs. And
yeah,
I've never been on meth, but I'm guessing they do some really, really strange shit.
Oh, I'm sure. But it seems to me, though, that if someone accidentally ODs in your house or on your premises,
right,
a great way of covering it up is not to hang her from the mailbox post in front of your house.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like a million other things could have been done so that you don't end up in trouble for that somehow.
Right. But there's also a million other ways to live your life that's better than smoking meth. Right.
Yeah, but it's...
So the fact that it makes zero sense makes a lot of sense. You see what I mean?
No.
Like, the fact that...
I see your point, but I fail to...
The position where she's sitting doesn't make any sense. The fact that you would try to take your life with a shoelace doesn't make any sense. The fact that the hair is between, the hair is between the shoelace and the neck. That doesn't make any sense to me.
The hair doesn't bother me one bit.
That doesn't make any sense to me. And again, the clothes that the family said that she wouldn't wear, so that doesn't make any sense. Then the shoes that they said she wouldn't wear those shoes, so that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
where are you going with
the fact? Well, I'm just saying, when all these things don't make any sense, sometimes it's like, well, somebody can say, well, it wouldn't make any sense to cover it up this way. Well, maybe because a lot of it doesn't make sense, then it makes sense. So does that make sense?
No. I see your point. I know where...
These are drug addicts. They're morons. There's people that OD and then they take the dead body and drop it off in a hospital. This stuff happens, you know.
See, that would make sense to me. That would make sense to me, dropping the body off at the hospital.
Yeah, but there's also people that OD and then they go bury the body.
Yeah, that would make more sense to me than this.
None of it makes any sense to me, you know. Like, if somebody OD'd, you call the cops.
Well, paramedics. Right, we know that.
That makes the most sense to me.
Right.
So the fact that this doesn't make any sense, well, none of the other stuff makes sense to me either. And I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm just saying that that's a possibility. But that also warrants an investigation.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it would be this should have been ruled a suspicious death. And therefore, a suspicious death has to be investigated. That's the rule. There's no getting around that. Now, what the photograph does not show is the arm. The arm that Jessica's arm that we discussed that had these marks, these bruises, these scabby marks and abrasions on her arm.
Right.
That the family saw when they were at the coroner's office, I believe. And they photographed this arm and this hand. And so let's talk about these scabby marks and the bruises and the print. There's also a print on Jessica's arm. Now, no one seems to know or have an idea where these bloody marks could have come from, as far as eyewitnesses go.
The marks don't concern me as much in the way that maybe this is just some kind of repercussion from doing the drugs, right? Like you burnt yourself doing the drugs. The bruising concerns me more, mm-hmm. and the print is very concerning to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Linda Johnson says that she is absolutely 100% certain that these marks, none of them, were on Jessica when she left her house on Wednesday evening.
Well, what about her friend? That's the person that we should be wondering, because if she went to pick up her friend, Kate, you would think that she would see these marks on the left hand at some point from her driving. Or if she wasn't driving, then Jessica would have been in the passenger seat, so the left hand would have been very visible to her. And did she see any of these marks beforehand? Because it also makes me wonder, too, like with these bruising of the wrist, was she, like you said, was she bound somewhere else? Or the other possibility is, did they carry her somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
And are there bruises on the right hand that would match the left-handed? You know, hey, grab her arms, grab her feet. We'll take her out to the mailbox.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that the bruising on her wrist, there appears to be three bruises to me is what I see. And I believe the bruises on her wrist must have happened before death. And again, it looks to me.
Well, wouldn't a proper autopsy prove that?
Well,
yeah. If it was a postmortem wound and that's the other problem.
Yeah, but I think scientifically the way bruising works, it would have to happen before she died. So this is, a lot of people have questioned, could it possibly be caused by some kind of restraints? You know, was she tied up? Was she, or even just a strong hand around her wrist? It doesn't, to me, it doesn't look like something she would have done to herself based on where it's located, unless these bruises were left from her attempting to hit someone or hit something.
Right, and they were defending themselves.
It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out everyone's most devious selves. And Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic game that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties. Bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out IXL Learning today. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. There's one site for all kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids could use it at home on their computer or on an app on your phone or a tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything for you. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. I love recommending IXL Learning. Kids can learn at home or on the go. And all my friends and family that are using it absolutely love it because it's so easy to set up and so easy to use. And even the kids that I've recommended it to their parents have told me, hey, Captain, thank you. I was having problems in math and my parents couldn't help me, but IXL could. Do you want to get your kids back on track or do you just want to get your kids ahead? Do so with IXL Learning. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And True Crime Garage listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/garage. Visit IXL.com/garage to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Check out IXL.com/garage today.
Have you ever thought about why your wireless bill is so damn expensive? It's all just radio waves. And how much can radio waves really cost? It seems like big wireless all got together and decided $100 a month. Now, thanks to Mint Mobile, you have a choice. For a limited time, all phone plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan's jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. So ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get premium wireless for just $15 a month. I love Mint Mobile. They have great quality. They have wonderful service. I love saving money. Put them together, and I'm getting great quality, great service, a wonderful phone plan for only $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Factor's ready to eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Day Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I am always on the go. I'm rather busy. And grabbing a quick meal, for me, used to mean eating the bad stuff. But I've switched to Factor. Now I simply grab a Factor meal from my refrigerator, heat, and then I am enjoying a delicious meal in just 2 minutes. And it's not loaded with the bad stuff. Head to factormeals.com/truecrimegarage50 and use code truecrimegarage50. To get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month, that's code TRUECRIMEGARAGE50 at factormeals.com/truecrimegarage50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
All right, we're back.
Cheers, Captain. I do want to point out one more thing before we move too far away from the photograph itself and, mm-hmm. and what we can see, or questions that are raised by what we can or cannot see in the photograph. The strap to the purse, you know, we mentioned the shoelaces being an odd choice for anyone. We talked about maybe the phone cord would be a more likely go-to for some type of strangulation, be it suicide or murder.
But chances are that the cord wasn't long enough for that.
Right. But then that's where I go to the purse strap. Seems like another
option.
Another thing to point to the shoelaces being an odd choice. But again, we don't have the lengths of those items in front of us for comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the scabby marks on the hand. We talked about the bruises a little bit. The scabby marks, Linda Johnson says she's 100% certain that these marks were not on Jessica when she left the house on Wednesday. You brought up the friend, Katie, that she picked up from work. This would have been at 5:15. So if we are to believe Jesse's story that she was last seen at 6 p.m., that's 45 minutes before 6 p.m. You brought up, did Katie see these? My guess is no. I don't have a definitive statement from Katie in front of me to back that up. These are pretty obvious, apparent scabby marks, though. And I know that's not a great term to be calling these, but
yeah.
This is something that if you were talking to someone, you were in a car ride with someone, you're not going to miss these marks on the back of her hand.
Nope.
And so I feel like had she in fact seen them, we would have some statement of that. Yes, I saw those when she picked me up, and we don't have that. I think it's more likely that we don't have a statement from her regarding this specific item, that it points more towards they weren't there on her person at that time.
Yeah, and if you look up meth burns, mm-hmm. there are similar type burns. Now, mm-hmm. not all of them are going to look like that, but...
Well, yeah, because...
That is something, to consider. But again, those bruises are so strange.
Because that doesn't have to go with meth, with the using of meth.
Well...
Or, you know...
Yeah, and the more I look at the bruising, it doesn't look like it's a thumb mark and then another thumb mark. Initially, that's what it looks like, but the closer I'm looking at it, it looks like there's a strap, like there was a strap around her wrist.
Hmm.
I mean, there's like even indents on her wrist where I could like draw, this is where the strap would go, and that's very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Regarding these marks, though, according to Linda Johnson, Jessica's mother, the coroner chalked it up to some kind of contact with a gravelly surface or possible insect.
That's possible, but her arm also could be pushed up against that post.
Mm-hmm.
And that post would have wood grain, and it kind of resembles a little bit of a wood grain pattern.
Well, I think you and I are talking about two different things here. I'm talking about the bright red scabby marks.
Oh, I was talking about the indent.
Yeah, so let's go to the indent now, because that's an interesting thing, because there are some people that have brought up that it looks to them, this is like an impression, almost like tracks, and I don't mean injection marks or anything like that. An impression on the arm that some have pointed out looks like it could have been a boot print of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that if they look close enough, they can see an outline of a boot or a shoe, particularly on the left side of that print.
Mm-hmm.
This could be from someone stepping on her arm after death, perhaps while tying her up or moving her.
Mm-hmm.
Others, though, see what
it could be from the goddamn police. stepping on her by accident when they move her because they decided to park their police cruisers right on top of her, basically.
The other thing that some people online say that they believe is that possibly, so if you were to believe it was a boot or shoe print,
mm-hmm.
now we're talking likely murder situation, or they chose to cover up this drug overdose in the weirdest manner possible.
Yeah, and I look, I'm with you, like the likelihood, like it's so weird, but I'm just saying I'm not ruling it out because these guys just seem very fishy to me.
What the other people say that would point more towards suicide is that what they believe they see, the impression was made by the mailbox post itself.
Yeah.
As it was pressed against, as her arm was pressed against the post.
That's what makes sense to me.
You know what's weird about that, though? That's when I look at this photo of her hand and arm, and then I go back to the photograph of her at the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to look for the angle, and I know that we can't see that arm and that hand because that's the one that would be behind the post there. So, yeah, it is up against – her arm is up against that post, and her shoulder is as well. But the wood grain is going straight up, and it's not impossible for the wood grain to have made those marks on her arm or that impression on her arm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's less likely because of the positioning of them and the way the angle of them on that arm. What I think that makes that difficult to say definitively that it's not the wood grain is it appears to me. So she's technically behind the mailbox, right? So if you were in the street delivering the mail,
mm-hmm.
you would have the mailbox right directly in front of you, the post behind the mailbox, and then she's behind the post.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to me, and this is very common, especially on country roads, is the ground will go up, you know, up at an angle near the road once you get closer to the street. Especially at that mailbox. And if you look at the picture closely, it appears to me that the front of the mailbox might be on higher ground than the back of the post or where she is.
Well, her arm is, yeah.
And so what I mean by that is, because if you say, well, her arm would be straight down to her side, to the left side of her, and leaning up against the post, and the wood grain could not have caused that indentation because they're going the wrong direction. What I say is the positioning of her legs and her right arm could be lower because of the ground is elevated there, and that her left hand and arm might be bent somewhat as they rest on the ground. Therefore, the wood grain itself does not need to go straight up and down for it to be the wood grain.
Also, you have grass,
right?
Weeds.
And,
so,
and I think that's probably the more likely scenario, that it's not just her arm pressed into the wood grain.
Mm-hmm.
It's debris and grass and weeds that are smashed between her arm and the post itself.
Right, and like, I don't think you
believe, which could go any direction.
Right. And I don't think you believe that she was, you know, tied to this mailbox since 6 p.m. But even if she's tied at 6 a.m. and they find her at 11, well, that's 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If I sit in the grass for 15 minutes, I'm going to have some indents.
Right.
So 5 hours, what's that going to do? Right. And where's the weight? Her weight's leaning to that arm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a deeper indent that's not going to go away once they transport her. So that makes sense to me.
Right. So let's get to some witnesses and suspects. All right. So what about the people who were actually with Jessica before she died? We have Jesse Isaacs, the homeowner and Garland's friend, spoke to a local news channel on camera, but his face is obscured in this footage. He does say here that there were up to six people coming up and down, going to and from the house both Wednesday and Thursday. Others say there were more. And we actually know of three women who were there just to see Jessica. So if he says only six people came and went from the house on those, you know, through the course of that time, the time in question, that means only three of those were women that were there to see him or to see Jessica. Right. So that only leaves three other additional people. That seems like a small number to me, almost that somebody's not being included, that there were more than six people going to and from that house.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that say that they seem to have saw a lot of traffic during those 2 days going to and from that house.
Well, and Jesse's either lying or he's stupid or he's just so high on drugs that he doesn't know. So it that becomes a conflict of trying to get to the truth because you don't know if he's lying or if he's just high.
Or we also don't know that if he was actually present for the entire time on Wednesday and Thursday at the home.
Right.
Okay. So the conflict that we have in the stories here is we have the homeowner, Jesse, who says that only six people came to and from the house on Wednesday and Thursday. Again, the problem with that is three women came to see Jessica. We have Jessica. We have Jessica's boyfriend, Garland. We have the rumor of him being with two girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my public school math right there puts me at seven people. Now, let's talk about Friday morning, because that's when she was actually found. Jesse tells WMC-TV, quote, and he's referring to Jessica, she just appeared out of nowhere, it feels like, because I mean, you had people riding up and down the street all morning. He's talking about, you know, just passerbys, people passing by on the road, not to mention the night before. One thing that's interesting here, though, too, Captain, is at 6 p.m. in June in Mississippi, it's still daylight, you know, and I know that neither of us believe she was there at the mailbox starting at 6 p.m., but that's the last time that she was seen. In fact,
well, that's what they're claiming.
Yeah, sunset wasn't until 8:03 p.m. that day. Jesse seems to believe that Jessica's body may have been placed at the mailbox shortly before it was found. He says, quote, whatever happened to her, it didn't happen here. And then he goes on, he thinks there's something suspicious about Jessica's death. Says, quote, the way she was tied to that was kind of unsettling. You know what I mean? This is what he told WMC-TV.
Right, so turn over the tapes so we can see, you know, the footage of the mailbox.
He goes on to add that kind of gave you the feeling that she didn't do it herself, or she didn't do it to herself.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And again, that statement, to me, is enough of a red flag to go, hey, we need to investigate this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand that she was a drug user, but she was also a mother, and she's a person, and a lot of people get hooked on this stuff through the dumbest reasons. They hurt their hand at work, and now they're on pain pills, and then the pain pills don't work anymore, so then they switch to heroin or meth or whatever. So there's a lot of good people getting wrapped up in the shit, and a lot of that is the big fucking pockets of pharmaceutical companies that are doing stuff that shouldn't be done and giving drugs to people that shouldn't be given these drugs to. But she's a mother and she's somebody in your community. And this is very, very suspicious. Mm-hmm. And they should have investigated this to the fullest.
Well, we also have Garland Hart. Okay. Jessica's boyfriend. And I know he's got to be the obvious suspect in most people's minds. And
he has to be.
Of course he is in mine as well. The interesting thing about him is several things, but the first one is he does seem to have an alibi, or at least someone claiming he has an alibi. There's a woman that he dated after Jessica's death. Okay. And she says he was with me the night before Jessica was found, and the morning of. I wish we had less of a vague statement from her regarding his alibi, because the tricky thing here is Garland Hart. We have the homeowner, Jesse Isaacs, saying Garland was at my house the night before. We have Katie, who took Jessica back to that house, who says Garland was there the night before.
Right.
There's probably another two or three witnesses that you could track down that would say that Garland was at that house on the property where Jessica was found the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes you think, well, this woman might just be lying for Garland Hart. But the strange thing is he ends up getting assault charges because he hit this woman. He later gets assault charges.
Oh my God, this guy is a piece of work.
And that's when you wonder, well, why didn't this woman then change her story? If she was lying for him,
right?
Why doesn't she come out and say, look, I was protecting him, I lied, or I had my nights wrong or misremembered anything? Because it seems like you have more people that can put him there on that property the night before than put him elsewhere.
Well, but what's interesting, though, is we have a bunch of people that seem to be doing really shitty drugs, and how can you believe any of them? Again, okay, we think her relationship was somewhat abusive, and she's found hung by a mailbox. I'm not going to believe any of these junkies' words. I need to do some more research.
Well, you know what? I'm with you 100%. We need to do some more research. This should have been investigated. I'm completely with you on that. What I am going to go with is I'm actually going to go with some of these junkies' words. And not all of them. I'm going to pick and choose. And if I cherry pick some of their statements, it goes furthermore to the fact that this should have been investigated, a thorough investigation, and it should have been labeled a suspicious death. Because the homeowner, who has almost as many reasons to look guilty of something as the boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
he even says on camera, I think there's something suspicious about her death. I think there's something suspicious about the way she was found. She wouldn't have done that to herself.
Right.
If you were going to make a list of suspects, he would be suspect number two, right?
Well,
high up on the list. And even he is saying this is suspicious.
But one of the things that we're missing and that a lot of people are missing is, okay, if we take this drug addict's word and he goes, we haven't seen her since 6 p.m. Well, we need to look at those phone records, because did she call somebody and did she get did somebody pick her up, and did she go to another party? Did she go somewhere else let's just say that she left at 6 p.m. like they said, and she didn't return. Her body didn't return till 6 o'clock in the morning. That's a 12-hour gap.
Mm-hmm.
Where's she at and who's she with? You know, and like you said, the guy that owns the property, which he would be your number one suspect or number two.
If you're gonna make a list, he's number two.
He's number two, and the number two suspect is saying that this looks fishy.
Yeah, this is suspicious.
Right.
Doesn't look like she would have done that to herself. And then let me add this in here, when we talk about the witness statements, Garland Hart. Okay, when he was walking into court on that domestic violence charge, he gives firsthand information on camera. He says, I loved Jessica. Anybody that knows me would know I could never do that to her. Anybody that's accused me of that, when they see that it had nothing to do with me, as I've been cleared already. He hasn't been cleared because there's been no murder investigation. So we can't believe that statement that he's been cleared.
Well, he's cleared.
He did say...
Everybody's cleared.
He did say this, and this is backed up by fact. He said, I willingly went down there myself, meaning the police department, because she was my best friend. He goes on to say, I don't expect an apology because it would anger me. The family, the Johnson family, have to have somebody to blame. I understand that. I'll be that dude, but I will never apologize for something I didn't do, especially to somebody that I loved. But listen to this. Listen to this. He also added, but yes, I do feel like something happened to her because I don't think she would have done that to herself. My God, man.
Yeah, so the
list of suspects, the number two suspect,
hold your fucking horses for a second, because
the number one guy that you would consider to be the likely killer.
Number one and number two.
Both of them are saying this is suspicious.
Pee and poop. Number one and number two are coming forward and saying this shit is suspicious.
Now what's weird though, and what's fishy that goes back to you know, because when I first read those comments that they stated, I'm like, well, maybe they're not guilty of anything because they're calling into question why this wasn't investigated.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the homeowner, Jesse Isaacs, giving those weird, ever-changing answers for why he cannot produce the surveillance footage.
Right.
If he, like you said, if he truly felt that something terrible happened to his friend or somebody that he knew that he was not guilty of, why does that answer change? I'm not blaming him. I'm not saying that he's guilty of something because he doesn't have camera footage to show us. What I'm saying is that he should have a definitive answer, not four different answers for why he can't produce that footage.
Yeah, but maybe Pee Pee and Poo Poo are actually geniuses, right? And this is what I mean by that. They go, criminal geniuses. They go, well, we killed her. What are we going to do with her? Well, let's hang her up on the mailbox and make it look like a suicide. Why would we do that? We're going to leave her on the property? That doesn't make any goddamn sense. That's why it makes so much sense. It will baffle people's mind. And then when they rule it a suicide, we're going to be the number one suspects if it's not a suicide, and we're going to be the ones that come out and say, we think this is kind of fishy.
Hmm.
Genius.
Well, and the other thing...
I don't think that's what happened, though.
No, but here's what I am willing to put my stamp on, is that this was a suspicious death, should have been treated as such right from the get-go, which would have opened up the investigation to all, you know, and opened up people to questions that weren't asked, opened up pieces of the investigation that would fill in the gaps on that timeline that might produce some kind of camera footage that could have produced any number of pieces of evidence to show us what actually did occur that night, what actually did happen to this poor young woman.
Yeah.
And because it was not looked at that way, because of what I'm going to flat out call, look, I wasn't there, okay? Obviously, I wasn't there. So
you're saying you're not a suspect.
No. What I'm saying is that I can't say 110% this is exactly the way it went down. What I can say is from what we can view, what we can find, all the articles, all the information, statements by friends, family, statements by people that you might even consider a suspect. What I can say is that this appears to me that for no other better reason than a lack of effort on the behalf of the police department,
yeah,
this was not investigated. They did not do their jobs. They didn't do their jobs that day.
No.
It was just total laziness, complete laziness that led us to not knowing what happened to this poor young woman. And
I wanna,
had they actually treated it for what it is, a suspicious death, mm-hmm. again, that would have opened up investigation. What they would have found shortly into that investigation is that money is believed to have been missing from her person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who the best suspects would be if she were to have been killed by someone, but at the top of my list would be, well, let's figure out where that money went first or why she doesn't have that money with her, and let's start there and see where the trail leads us.
I'm going to do you one better. Yes, I think follow the money, but get the information on the cell phone. because we're going to find out real quickly if they're telling the truth that they didn't see her after 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Because if you show up to a house and you're supposed to be hanging out with people and there's rumors that your boyfriend is with some other women and she was like, I'm going to get out of here. Who did she call? She's hanging out with shady people. She's doing drug deals. She has connections. Who did she call? And the guys that she was hanging out with, Pee Pee and Poo Poo, they're bags of turds. But
they might not be guilty of
right, but they're not. They might not be murderers,
drug users.
And so, did the people that she contacted, if she did, and she left that property, are they even worse? Did she get herself into a worse situation? And this should have been investigated, and sad it wasn't.
Well, and you have to wonder too, is statements by Garland and Jesse pointing out that they believe it to be suspicious, but kind of just leaving it at that, is that indications that they maybe who they suspect they might be afraid of?
Right.
Without throwing more, because when I see this picture, what it says to me, it doesn't look like a suicide. It doesn't look like...
Doesn't feel that way.
No, yeah. And it doesn't look like an accidental death that was staged. What it looks like to me is that something, just like the homeowner said, something happened elsewhere. And then later she was placed there in this manner as some kind of statement or threat to others. This looks and screams to me like a Vlad the Impaler type situation. And again, you're right. The phone would have been their first angle to go with. Such a simple, simplistic idea. Check the phone, see if you can trace her movements, see who she was talking to. And here's another thing, too. If you could have really nailed that time of death, if you could have closed the window and shortened the length of time of the possible time of death, if they could prove that she died before 3:29 a.m., well, then we got a murder here, my friends, because what that means at the very least is that text that was sent to her son at 3:29 a.m. did not come from her.
Mm-hmm.
Did not come from her. And that means this was a murder.
It's been a heated 2 days in the garage with this case. If you have any thoughts of your own, please go to truecrimegarage.com and leave it on the blog.
Until next week, everybody, be good, be kind, and don't live.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.